Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourque.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, talking at you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's another week of Caps Hockey Talk. Tis the season, as they say. And joining me once again, as she has for the better part of a year, the beautiful, wonderful, memeing mermaid mentalist, the teaching prodigy from Fairfax County Public Schools, the absolutely awesome kicking ass wherever she goes, Anna Knox.
Wow, I think my intro gets longer each week. Wow, not many people can say that. Okay. All right, Monday, here we are. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk this last week.
Lots of goings on. But speaking of goings on, how's things with you? Understand you had a interesting little excursion the other day.
Oh, well, so much for this being a family show, right? I did. Yesterday, my best friend Chris and I went Christmas shopping, we'll just call it that, out in Leesburg at an adult novelty store. Oh my God. Like, if you can't go with your gay best friend to a sex shop or an adult shop, whatever you want to call it, then who's going to go with? I mean, come on. So we had the best time. The woman who worked there, I wish I would have got her name because she was fantastic. And yeah, it's in downtown Leesburg. If you're in that area, you know what I'm talking about. It was classy. It had its other side. But yeah, so when I said that to you today, the eye roll emoji, like, okay, you went to an adult store. I'm like, no, seriously, I did. It was crazy. You know, it's Christmas time and why not? I have bought some stuff and I'm looking forward to partaking in such activities. How's that? Yeah, good stuff.
The 14-year-old in me is
blushing.
16. Right. Mr. Producer Jeffrey is protesting at me for being juvenile, which says quite a bit.
It kind of does. Because I feel like, because I could see that you're like bright red right now. I didn't tell you what I bought, and I won't, but I'll just say, yeah, it's all good.
Good thing I got a drink. Because I'm going to need it.
Yeah, you asked. I don't have much to hide these days, so come on now. How was your weekend? Not as exciting as mine, but
not
that's okay.
Anywhere close. Waiting for the snow to not come, which up in here in Glen Burnie, it did not. Other than that, it was another weekend of work, et cetera, et cetera. Pins and needles, blah, blah, blah. Waiting on injury reports and things like that. But yeah, just pardon me. Same old, same old. You know, let's just go ahead and get into the hockey.
I love when Gil gets flustered. It's the best.
Sure.
You're like,
you love it because it means you get to talk more.
It does. Cause you're like, I can't form a sentence, but sorry. Talking about Vegas. Let's go.
Yeah, sure. You're sorry. Okay. So, overall in this past week, three games to recap, though we're kind of gonna blow through the first one. Yeah. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, something happened that we really can't leave behind in Vegas. We all know it by now. Our comeback player of the year, awesome guy who wears 43, got injured in that game. No punishment, no pun intended, no peeing around. I don't know what you want to call it, but I'm not one to make excuses, so I'm not going to say that's why they lost the game. The reason they lost the game is because the special teams were not so special. PK went, they gave up two goals. Power play went nil for four, and they just let down pretty much in the last 3-4 minutes of the game and allowed old Schmitty there coming off his PED suspension. And a lot of P's thrown around here. Hopefully I'm not offending anybody, but
considering where I just announced that I spent my Sunday, part of my Sunday afternoon, if they're offended by that, then screw them.
Screw them if they can't take a joke.
Yeah, it's the holiday season. Screw them.
Or adult diapers and other things you can wear.
Sure.
It was wearable, wasn't it?
One of the purchases is wearable.
Aha. Okay, that much I got out of her, ladies and gentlemen. But no more. Sorry to disappoint. Anox49 at Twitter if you're interested. Anyway. Sorry.
All right, no, it's good. Well, okay,
getting back to the hockey.
Yes.
Okay, so look, in all seriousness, Anna and I went over this a little while before tonight's recording, and we really didn't want to spend too much time, although Anna, I know you probably want to get a few things off your chest, but I didn't want to dwell on it because, number one, I didn't want to make it sound like we're making excuses. This show is not about making excuses for the team. When the team plays like crap, we say so. And they did. And losing one player should not be an excuse. After all, they had to put up with the first 16 or so games without him because of the suspension. And so, you know, but for my part, yes, I was upset and I was, I did my time in the grand old fuck you party that is Twitter with some really obnoxious and moronic other people. But I'm over that, as should we, the Caps fans, be as well. Anna, notwithstanding, I'm going to, understandably, she's upset. So I'm going to allow her the vent session I promised her. So go ahead.
And I'll keep it. I'm not going to keep it to a minimum. I'm just going to say what I want to say. And here's what it comes down to is, I have always been a sports fan. And one of the best things about it is when you are seeing a rival team, and we've had the Pens be the rival team, and, you know, you're like, oh, they're, you know, their fans suck and Crosby and blah, and you get started and whatever. And then when people take it to the next level, the trolls and whatnot, and it becomes dirty, that's when it starts to suck. But, you know, to have a rival, like a guy I work with is a diehard Pittsburgh fan, but we can, you know, razz each other and then still be friends. What I saw on the ice in Vegas was an absolute disappointment to any sports lover, any NHL watcher, any hockey fan whatsoever. What happened to Tom Wilson was absolutely disgusting. It was reckless and it was arrogant on Ryan Reeves. And I'm even grossed out that I have to say his name on our podcast, but I have nothing nice to say about this guy. He came out and it was, you know, it's one thing to taunt. Yes, they all talk shit, but this guy just would not let it go. And what he did was, I mean, it was just disgusting. Had he injured Wilson and then skated off like, okay, oh shit, like we've seen Tommy do. And maybe I wouldn't be as pissed. I would be pissed, but whatever. The fact that he stood over him and smiled and laughed, and not just him, but the Vegas fans as well, is absolutely disgusting to me. There's no sportsmanship in that. There's no love of the sport. If you're happy that that happened, you are not a true hockey fan. Absolutely disgusting and vile. And so, yes, I got on my on Twitter stuff, also got blocked. I blocked a shit ton of people. You know, I get the Irish up and I'm ready to go because it's an absolute disgusting thing to cheer about it, to have him sign a poster about it. You know, and I will just say this, you know, like the seeing that I just feel like, you know what, Reeves, you're an absolute disgrace to the NHL. That's not what the NHL is about. And you just want to go out there and injure people to, you know, life threatening, you know, moments and this concussion and then gloat about it. Disgusting. You're not somebody that should ever be a child's hero to look up to. And then, you know, and I feel like the only way I want to end this is I know how frustrated the Caps fans are, and we should all be pissed for the officiating. Did they play well? No, they didn't. They did not look good on the ice, and that's one side of it, and I agree with you, Gil, on that. But this, you know, disgusting side of the Knights, I just lost all respect for any other players, including Nate Schmidt, unfortunately. Fleury, you name it, done. But we as Caps fans are better than this. And we're not going to, you know, luckily we have that block button on Twitter to not let people get to us because that's what they're looking for. But we are better than this. We are still going to pull for our team. We are still going to hope, you know, that that there are no injuries on either team when we're watching the game. And that's just how I feel. Like, you know, I take sports seriously and I love it, and I don't want to see anybody hurt. And I have stood and clapped when an injured player on the opponent and has been injured and walked off the field, walked off the ice, walked off the baseball field, whatever, because that's just what you do. So that's how I feel. So yes, sorry that went on my soapbox a lot longer than I wanted, but I just want to keep pushing out there that Caps fans, we are better than this, and that we are there to rock the red and support this team, you know, regardless of how disgusting other fans, quote unquote fans, are going to react.
You can't see it, but I'm standing, so it's a standing ovation.
Oh, okay. God, there you go. God, the adult store shopping didn't get a standing ovation, but this one did, and I'll take it. I will take it.
I don't know what you got from there, so I can't cheer that. So
that's true. We'll talk later.
So, yeah. Sure,
what
we will.
Did you say?
No, that was Mr. Producer Jeffrey. Fess up. What did you say?
Obviously, it wasn't a standing ovation.
I didn't hear it.
I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask what he meant by that. Getting back to what you said, seriously though, you said it all. You said it all there, and that's why I'm applauding you, because no, it should not be something celebrated or cheered or, pardon me, made a profit of, et cetera, et cetera. But no, we're done with it. We're going to leave it behind, and we're going to move on. Yes, we are.
To Arizona.
We're going to move on to Arizona. And that game.
This was a fun game.
This was a very fun game. Of course, my good friend Pete, talking about holiday shout outs, later on, my good friend Pete, of course, lives out there and, is watching the game, complaining about having to listen to the Arizona feed while watching his beloved Caps, but take the good with the bad, I suppose. But
it wasn't Mike Milbury, so anything's better than that.
this is true. This is very true. Okay, so let's see here. Scoring summary. Pardon me. So some guy named Fisher, not my friend Pete, opens the scoring. Stop me if you've heard this before. The opposition gets the first goal within the first 5 minutes of the first period starting. That opens and closes the scoring for that period. I would have to admit I did not see much of this game. I was just, I don't know. I have been just out of it this whole weekend. I'm glad you did, because you can come up with a better report than I can. Did speaking of which, it being Arizona, did Phoenix start in this game?
Copley, yes. I know what you're trying to do, and I'm not going down that road. I just see enough of those puns on Twitter. Yeah, well, but Copley was in.
Phoenix was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's all I need to know, that Phoenix is in Arizona.
Okay. Oh, God. Just don't be annoying.
Too late.
Totally. Totally. Okay. Well, if you don't have it wrapped up, I have it ready to go.
I got the scoring summary in front of me, but I didn't get a good study of the players. I mean, I can see that somebody's teacher's pet, Jacob Vrana, scored to tie the game, 5:27 mm-hmm. into the second, assisted by Conley and Kuznetsov, with his 19th assist, by the way. Let's see here. And then Arizona went up 2-1, but that would be the last one they get. Some guy named Kraus and his cousins. And then Matt Niskanen with a wrister with his fourth of the year. He got an assist from Phoenix, appropriately enough.
Which is awesome, because even watching the after game interviews with Copley, it was like, you know, somebody asked about it, and it's almost like you didn't know how to answer, because you just kind of laughed it off, like, yeah, I guess so, like, whatever. But yeah, but also, so it was Copley to Boyd to Niskanen, who, you know, we haven't talked much about, because he hasn't done much to really impress me.
Who, Niskanen?
Yeah, I don't know what it is about him. Okay, I shouldn't say that. He doesn't. It's between Niskanen and Stevenson. I sometimes just kind of forget they're there, and I hate that.
Well, okay. I have to disagree. I think they. Okay, so no, they don't. They don't jump off of the score sheet like certain others do. Like your damn teacher's pet.
He is on fire. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pour water on him. Fine. But he does. He's one of those quiet guys that does all of the little things right. And yeah, he struggled at times this year.
I'll give you that. I'm not saying, you know, because if I'm going to start talking about players that are kind of on my non-teacher pet list, Orlov, then that's okay. But for sometimes, you know, Stevenson, I've always liked the guy. I mean, he's got this, you know, great, you know, whatever. There's the skill is there. Niskanen, same thing. And I don't, maybe it's just because they're quiet or so. I don't know what it is, but I tend to kind of not focus on those two as much. And look at me eating humble pie this week and last week with Brett Connolly just rocking it recently. So hell yeah, number 10.
This is true.
Good for you. I mean, a lot of assists and then scoring. Not in the Arizona game, but we'll talk about the next one. Good for him for stepping up.
Well, speaking of guys that need to step up, the very next goal in the game, Probably the most popular whipping boy on the Capitals, wearing number 65, number 1,000 in your hearts, maybe. Andre Burakovsky with his fifth of the year on a wrister to put the Caps up for good. And that actually turned out to be the game-winning goal, assisted by Niskanen and Dmitry Orlov. That pairing that we don't, that's not as big a pair that we don't love as much, apparently. Let's see what I did there. Yeah. But they look they got the job. They got the job done. Okay, that's
right.
All that now,
okay, and then let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. I know you said you didn't see the game, right?
Not after the first period. No, I zonked out.
No, that's fine. But what here's what I'm going to ask. So with Wilson getting the concussion and being out, they moved 65 to the top line, and rumors on going back and forth, reading NHL opinions and sites and whatnot. People were saying, oh, what an absolute joke. He shouldn't be there. And then the other half was saying, you know what? He actually does better and seems to perform better when he is on, the top line or even on the second line so much. So he scores with Wilson being out, which is great. Even though it's only his fifth, we kind of all expected a little bit more. And then not so much in the next game. And I know I feel like I'm jumping ahead, but I just want you to just kind of roll with me here. And I then heard today when they were going over the lines and everything for Detroit tomorrow that he's not playing. He might be a healthy scratch. And is it a good thing? Like, do you bump the guy up who's struggling? He scores. Do you keep the momentum going in hopes that it's going to keep going? But after, he scores the next game, he doesn't do shit. Then do you bench him? Like, did Reardon and those guys make the right decision? I guess is what I'm asking you.
Very good question. I don't know. I think, I posted this on Twitter to a couple of fellow Caps fans who were asking about Berkey, and I was of the opinion that, look, he still deserves a chance, but as I said then, the grains of sand on the top half of his hourglass as far as his time as a Cap are running very thin and very low. I think we are at the point where they simply cannot wait on him anymore. Before we know it, we will be at game 70-something, and he may not have produced enough by then. So if he's not going to wake up, if he's not going to go on these scoring streaks like we expect him to, then maybe, you know what? Maybe if he has a really bad game, bench him.
Yeah,
Well, I was going to say he's reacted to it and bounced back from it in the past. It seems to be what he needs every now and then.
Right. Well, that was the other thing. So that was the other argument. It's like, absolutely bench him, because then he comes back, balls to the wall, ready to go. But then they also took a risk in putting him on the top line. And he scores, and he looked really good in the Arizona game. Like, he kind of had that mental fog was gone.
Right, and that's the other thing he reacts to. When he's been given a chance to play on the top two lines, doesn't matter if it's and he's proven it in both the regular season and the playoffs, he produces.
He does.
It only lasts for maybe one or two games, but he does produce when he's put in that situation at first.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe against Detroit, put him out. And I mean, we just have really impressive young players. Not that Burakovsky is old, but just these young players that are coming up that I just have been super excited to see on the ice. They're excited. It's just that sort of infectious vibe they've got going on. And I wish Barkowski could get into that. And who knows? You know, who knows what it is with him, but it's like, how many times can we say, it's this. So, you know, maybe the coaches are kind of looking at it the same way, like, hey, listen, you know, we're at game 28 or whatever, and you're not consistent.
Right.
So this is what it comes down to.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing. And I'll end my part of the discussion with this note, but here's my thing about Burakovsky. When he does not score, okay, it's not as big a blow as the mental mistakes that he makes when away from the puck on the other side of the game, okay?
Right.
Taking stupid penalties, not being strong on the boards, that kind of a thing. That's really, when it comes down to it, that's what disappoints me about his game, okay?
Right.
So that right there, he needs to step up. But for me, I mean, if he gets... I guess I shouldn't say this, but my standards for him are so low right now. I would settle for a double-digit goal year and a plus-minus in the low fives.
Right.
And I'd be satisfied. But, I mean, really, for a first-round pick, I think we should be expecting a lot more. And
maybe that's just what it is that I need to kind of remove myself from, you know, liking the kid for that one, sympathizing with the mental block that he gets into that terrible headspace, like a Holtby does. And maybe that's like, I'm always just kind of wanting to see like, oh, I know you can do it. Okay, maybe one more game. But, you know, at some point, you know, you do have to say, listen, you know, we're paying you a shit ton of money and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And there's 10,000 other guys that want to take your position. So,
yeah,
you know,
and we're getting to that point where it's almost midnight and the pumpkin is going to stay a pumpkin.
I agree. I know.
That's where we're all at. Right. With him, so
I agree. I know. I think this is the fan side talking, not the looking at it logically kind of thing. But all right, so you're ready to talk about the Blue Jackets?
Not quite yet, because
You
did mention one last note. You did mention, of course, this being the first game without a certain number 43 in the lineup because of a concussion that he got. Well, see, the way they were kind of, you know, bitter about announcing it, as they should have been, because, you know, but with apologies to Harry Chapin, I think this is how I would have announced that before the game. Yes, we have no Tom Wilson. We have no Tommy in this game. As if that wasn't bad enough. Yes, we have no Tom Wilson. The DOPS is to blame.
Not quite standing ovation worthy from me, but
okay.
I'll give you a golf clap.
That's better than crickets any day. Anyway.
It's true. You have a point.
Look, absolutely. we're trying to be lighthearted about it, even though it was a bad thing. It was a bad thing that happened.
Well, see, the thing is, I think, you know, when you're in a situation watching something saying, okay, did that just happen? And all of us thought whatever it was that happened, like, again, whether it's on the field or, you know, on the ice, whatever, basketball court, whatever it is, when you're looking at it on television thinking, wait, did I just see that? There's no penalty. There's no consequence. That sounds like a teacher. Sorry. there's no whatever it is that you want to call it. It is really frustrating. So you could say, okay, you know what? Sometimes they fuck up and, you know, they miss a strike, they miss this, they miss that. Okay, whatever. But this kind of cloud over the Caps is an absolute joke. And so, you know, we've got the Tommy thing with Reeves not getting anything, which is, you know, like, fucking A. Don't get me started on that all over again. And then, you know, you have these other things. And what went down in this next game has me just beyond pissed that, you know, what the hell is up with the officiating? I mean, it's like, who are these people that are doing this and everything that's so blatant? So,
and it's good that you mentioned that, because in spite of that horrible performance by said officiating crew, the Caps did end up playing a very dominant game next against the CBJ. And of course, that was the 4-0 win. We'll go over the scoring summary real quick. Brett Connolly opens the scoring. A Capital, you heard me right, a Washington Capital, got the first goal of the game, assisted by Vrana and Kuznetsov, 1:42 in the first. And then about 9.5 minutes later, who should get his first goal? But the guy you've been hoping and predicting gets his first goal, one of your threes, Dmitry Yashchin.
Yeah, it was really, really hot. And I don't care. Like, and listening to the commentator, and I was like, yay. It hit his skate, deflected in. I don't care.
You know what that's called?
I don't care. No.
That's called being at the right place at the right time.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought you were going to call it something else. Absolutely.
No.
And you know what? And you can say what you say, but you know what? It's such a... It happens so fast that, yeah, you're there at the right time, at the right place. And it was like, 23 seriously has got that weight lifted off his shoulder, because he has been kicking ass the last couple of games. I've been really, really happy with him. And I know there were a bunch of people who were pissed off at me when I put the 13-23-43 hoping to score tweet out there. They're like, oh, Yashchin, mud, what are you thinking? That I see potential. That's what I'm thinking. So back the fuck up and let me do my thing. And Ron is awesome. Tommy's going to come back. I have no doubt. You know, I know he's not playing tomorrow, but I'm okay with it. And 23, God, he just needed that. He needed it. And there's nothing better than seeing the support from the players on the team. It was awesome. So good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, the captain, continuing the scoring summary, captain gets his 22nd of the year with 19 seconds remaining into the period. Kempney and Carlson on the assists. And then in the third, who should also get his first, not only of the year, but of his career, the man from the U, that's the U of Minnesota, Travis Boyd. And his was assisted by the captain and Nick Dowd. Wonderful for that. That was a thing of beauty, because Ovechkin actually looked like he was lining up for the shot, but saw Boyd streaking towards the net on the wing and figured, why not give the kid a shot? And he did. And
how can you not love that? Because I'm so glad that you said that, because I was going to say also that Ovechkin said, even, you know, I think it was right after this game, he said, listen, you know, this guy's, you know, he's come up and he wants this so badly, you know, and like, here's Ovechkin with like his insane amount of assists and goals and years and whatever. And now he's looking at, you know, this guy who just wants his first NHL, and he passed it to him. Oh, it was awesome. And that, you know, again, it all just kind of comes back to why Caps fans are just, you know, we are better than that. Keep with these stories, you know, who cares about Vegas and whatnot, like this bunch of losers. But yeah, it was great. And the celebration, again, another, you know, everyone's so happy for Travis Boyd. So way to go.
I agree totally, and glad to see that he got his first, and hoping for bigger and better things to come for the guy, and he certainly earned his playing time. So that ends the scoring. 4-0 is the final, and I'm starting to sound like a soccer commentator, so we'll continue with that. The man of the match, Braden Holtby, with a clean sheet. That means, translation, means he got first star of the game. And got the shutout, stopping all 28 CBJ shots.
He looked damn good.
He looked very
really
good.
Did. Yeah, that was like Holtby, you know, at Holtby level. Game before, so Vegas. Not so much. That's okay. But, that's, you know, and I'm okay with it, because I know, and I'm so bummed I'm short on time, because I know you want to do that. I have some holiday shout out, and then you're going to
We'll get to that. So it's Caps come away with a 2-1 record in the, for this past week. We actually got quite a bit to get through. Our Twitter is blowing up here. I'll tell you about that in a second. But let's go back down on the farm. Thanks to our listener, Don McLaren. That's, of course, we're talking about the Baby Caps, also known as the Hershey Bars. So the weekend, week 10 of the AHL season. Let's see. Okay, so very succinct and brief description of the first game. Bears travel to Lehigh Valley to face the Phantoms. That's the Flyers AHL affiliate. They lose 1-0. Vanacek did his best in the net, and his lone comment is nothing to see here. Move along. Okay, so we will. Saturday's game. This past Saturday was the Bears against the Hartford Wolfpack. That's the Rangers affiliate. Solid effort by the Bears, he says. Great 6-3 win at home. Okay, so this was in Hershey. Scarbosa with 2 goals. Liam O'Brien with a couple. Cameron Pilon also scored. Samsonov was in net, got 28 of 31. And then round out the weekend, Sunday, it was the Bears versus the Baby Pens. At Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Great start, but rough ending. Turned out to be a 5-4 shootout loss. Megna, O'Brien, Barber, and Lewington all got the goals. Vanacek in net, stopping 26 of 30, 8 of 9 in the shootout. And so he goes on, outstanding in their field. Liam O'Brien had a magical week, 3 goals.
Big tuna. Max.
The what? Sorry.
Big Tuna.
Big Tuna?
Yeah, it's his nickname.
Okay. Never heard that before, to be honest, but all right. I'll go with that. Max Kammerer, Garrett Pilon notched their first AHL goals, career AHL goals, so that's great. Defenseman Colby Williams, 4 assists in those 3 games. Good job by him. Pardon me. Beer starting to come back up on me. Let's see. Samsonov got the 2 games of, he says, Vanacek had the tougher competition. Both played kind of yin yang, both good and bad. He goes over some transactions. I think we're just going to gloss over that, though. Okay, so so thus endeth the farm report. So okay,
thanks,
so
Don.
Which do you want to do first? Do you want to go over the Twitter feed or the shout out? So that actually they're kind of blurred together, sort of.
Well, I had just 2 people that wanted to send, like, that wanted to have, you know, the holiday shout out. I had one just, and so that there's 3 holiday shout outs, and then the Twitter thing, excuse me, I saw very briefly before you and I went on, and are you referring to Lisa and Sonia?
Among others, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know what? Let me start. We'll start with the shout outs just to get this, and then you can do the Twitter stuff since I can't see it right now on my phone.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll get mine out of the way. He didn't post it so much. This is me to him. My old friend Doug Lucerarian, I was thinking of him because I ran into him at the getting off the metro from the parade, and been a longtime friend of mine. So this is me sending a shout out to him. We've been friends and Caps fans since grade school. So to him and his wife Jackie and his three sons, want to put that out there. Doug, I know you listen to the show sometimes. I really appreciate that. And thanks for keeping things up, and hope you and yours have a great holiday season. So that's my lone shout out. How about yourself?
Okay, well, if we're going to start on a personal level, I just want to give a shout out to three people that I work with over at Lee's Corner Elementary School. Three of the people that made the Caps game so awesome when we went last week for Anaheim. So to Amy, Matt, and Leah, go Caps. Hope to make it through the next 9 days of school because it's going to – it's tough, but you guys make this school just an awesome place to be, and I love when we can pass each other in the hallway and talk Caps stats and whatever. And Amy actually she's part of that the traveling Caps fans group. It's so embarrassing, but like I just totally drew a blank. But anyways, she was at the Columbus game yesterday. There's a bunch of them that have like a say it again.
I said very cool.
Oh, sorry. And yeah, so she did that, and she is a diehard fan, and it was just so much fun. Even though we lost, still had an amazing time. So I have to give that shout out to them. And then for the requested ones that we put out, although it was only like 45 minutes, but Don, not Farmer Don. Or farm team Don, but Don, friend in Gainesville, says he wants to give a holiday shout out to fellow Caps fans, his wife, his swimmer, and his hockey player, and last but not least, number 13, Jacob Rana. So we all know I'm gonna like be all over that.
Of course.
In a heartbeat. Of course. One of my big old partner in crimes, one of my dearest friends ever, Stephanie Miller. So she wants to say, she got it wrong and wanted to do like, oh, hey, happy holidays from me to you and Gil. I'm like, no, but we figured it out. It is for Al and Jason, Emily and Molly, for her whole family to have a happy and healthy holiday, and go Caps, of course. And then of course I've got the, I love these ladies, Sonia K and Lisa D, who are not wanting to send any sort of holiday greeting or holiday love to Ryan Reeves on the Vegas Knights. So,
Do you want to read the tweets, or should I?
You know what? I saw it briefly, and I thought all I saw was, you know, one little part about not being able to handle that language, and that's just it. That's these ladies, they know their shit. They're diehard fans, and I, you know, I hope to meet them in person and one of these days, because they're just awesome. And I absolutely relate. And you know, it's like I don't want to be a Grinch on Christmas, but man, if there's somebody that I don't want to give a holiday shout out to, it would be him.
Well, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and read them. And that's Lisa Desabre and Sonia Kendall. All right, so I'll keep it short. Okay, so Lisa says, can I send out a holiday greeting to Ryan Reeves? Of course, you'd have to bleep most of it out. Well, come with us live and you can say whatever you want. We won't bleep you out. How about that?
There you go.
She goes on to say, but I can say it with the cheeriest of Christmas smiles. And Sonia chimed in and said, and since it's a podcast, they can't see your middle finger at the same time. Perfect scenario. And got to end it with Lisa's last comment. sorry, I'm going to sing again. Deck your balls with OV Slapshot. Fa la 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 la.
That's awesome.
I mean,
oh my God, the inner fans, and we're passionate and fun, and we could see light.
We have the greatest. Yeah. We have the greatest fans. I'm sorry, but we do.
Absolutely. I mean, we're just fucking the best. So hands down. But unfortunately, I got to scoot.
We'll go ahead and wrap it up. So it's another great week of Caps hockey. Looking forward to next week. Next game is against Detroit. That's tomorrow night. You got to scoot on over to do Sports on the Hill. Have a good show there. For Anna Knox, this is the Blue Line. I can't even say my own name, my own fake name. For Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, reminding you that we didn't skip over a certain news item. Just wanted to say that the Caps had a bonding trip, and they all got their haircuts at Great Clips. And when asked about this bonding trip, Coach Todd Reirden explained, since we sent down the barber, had to go get the haircut somehow. Hallelujah, and let's go, Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.